Hey guys, hope you're doing well. A happy February to you. I hope you've had a good start to the year.
We've missed the first month.
We've had some nice Africa time. No one's late in Africa. No one except the power company who cuts the power off.
No one's late?
No one's late in Africa. Like, they're just...
Everyone's late.
Which means no one's late. Like, time is what it is.
Oh, and they're saying, like, everyone's prompt.
No. The power company is prompt.
Late doesn't exist. Yeah. The power company is prompt.
If they say the lights are going to be out at 5, the lights will turn off at 5.
Yes, the only thing prompt in this country.
That's right. Hope you guys are doing well. Thank you for all the comments and questions that you've either had on Kelly's channel or on our little community notes thing. What is it called?
Yeah, I guess that's called that.
Yes. I'm utterly surprised. When you think of Africa, I think poverty. But this part of Africa is another story. Just like the people that are from there or live there in South Africa, I guess the northern side is the ugly side. So there is no ugly side in South Africa. All of it is beautiful. There's four different climates or touristy things that are different about South Africa. So number one is the beaches, especially along the east coast. It's warm water, beautiful beaches. The bush, which is Lion King vibes, where there's thorn trees and wild animals, and that has its own magic. The Berg, which is the mountains where we are, beautiful mountains. And then
huge
mountains. And then the fourth would be the Cape. So the Cape is its own Mediterranean climate. It has its own beauty. So there's four very different styles of beauty in South Africa. All of it's very beautiful. The poverty is...
real.
Yeah, the poverty is real. Half the country is unemployed, and... it's very much, the cities are where you really see the squalor. There's huge shanty towns around every city. Most towns even will have shanty towns built up around them of people looking for work or whatever the case may be. There's a lot of violence, a lot of poverty, squalor. However, in the rural areas where we live, the African people live very well because they have space to live rurally, to have a subsistence economy. Most people will have their own food of some sort, whether they plant crops or have livestock, and there's a lot of space for people to live well, even if they are unemployed or below the poverty line.
And their houses actually look very nice.
Pretty nice, yeah.
We drove past the nearest location yesterday, and we were amazed at the development of some of their houses with the tile roofs and glass doors.
Double story.
Yeah. So there's definitely still is poverty. And it's quite unfortunate because I think South Africa is the most beautiful place on earth, but I haven't been everywhere, obviously. But it is, to me, every time we come out, it's, I feel like what heaven looks like because it's so just breathtaking. And not just here, I think, I mean, being here is amazing, but even just driving around to other places where it's flat, it's a different type of beauty.
Yeah.
It's just unfortunate because I don't think a lot of the people that live here see the value of the natural beauty and they don't steward it very well.
No.
So there's lots of trash on the ground, erosion in the fields because of cattle.
Yeah, the only reason that it's really pretty in the tourism areas is because the businesses are concerned of keeping things clean. But the government doesn't. The government doesn't care to keep things clean. The average South African person doesn't care to keep things clean. So there's a lot of trash, a lot of pollution, a lot of disorder, and just general dirtiness and chaos, really. In the towns especially, the towns are very run down. The infrastructure is broken. The roads are in disrepair. And so,
except the highways.
Yeah, the highways are
miraculously
very well maintained.
But the road, the average road, it's a nightmare.
People will like swerve into your lane
to avoid
the potholes.
Because the potholes would mess up your vehicle.
Yeah.
They're so bad.
Yeah, definitely.
And are you considering moving to South Africa? Why and why not?
I think when we got married, that was our plan, was to be 6 months in South Africa, 6 months in America, very idealistic.
Yeah.
And then money kicks in. And you're like, well...
Money kicks in and this longing for rootedness.
Yeah, to be in one community, you know, being... because we do feel kind of paused whenever we're out of one. So we leave America, it's almost like that all goes on pause for the month or so that we're here. And then same way, when we go back to America, the South African life is on pause. And it's very hard, I think, to be able to juggle a feeling of belonging or contribution to both places without being there for a long time.
Yeah.
So that is, it is a hard thing, just, yeah, both financially and then also just practically being involved in a community or, you know, working and contributing to a place obviously takes being there. So we haven't worked that out yet.
Yeah.
We'd love to. We'd love to be in both places. We love America. We love South Africa. It's just right now America is where we feel we need to be.
Yeah.
Do you feel it is easier to unplug when in South Africa and get away from all the drama in America? Well, we've unplugged from the drama wherever we go. We don't watch news. We don't really care for the news cycle of either America or South Africa. And it's very easy in America, but especially in South Africa, because of state failure, political failure, government failure, whatever you want to call it, cultural failure. It's very easy to get in a doom spiral or a despair spiral. Every time I come back, I have to prepare myself to not be angry, to not be sad, to not be
disappointed.
And just realize that it is what it is. So what is the future? What are we building?
And why do you have to prepare yourself for that?
I think just because you've seen, especially living in America, you've seen infrastructure works, the police works, lights, water, people obey the laws. There's a sense of order. And then you come back to South Africa and it's totally not that. It's the complete opposite. There's lawlessness. There's a breakdown of infrastructure, a breakdown of law and order. There's no police service. In fact, the police are actually most of the times corrupt and a part of crime. And so you see what could be because it's such a beautiful place. You see what could be if there was just a government that cared for its people and actually wanted to be a government for its people. And I think you have to deal with the disappointment and the inability to... That's why we're outraged. That's why there's drama, is because we want to control things that we have no control over. And so it's always got to come back to, okay, how do we control what we can control? And that's what's always so beautiful about coming back to South Africa, is seeing, again, the people that you've grown up with, the places you've grown up in, seeing how they are creating a bubble of order and of functional infrastructure and functional life amidst the chaos of a failed state. And that's always encouraging. It's like, oh, wow, these people are building. They're not letting the circumstances dictate violence and poverty and stuff on them, but they're actually building themselves out of that.
Mm. I think that's what's always very encouraging for us when it comes to preparing. In America, I think a lot of times fear tactics are used of diesel's going to shut down in a day and you're going to run out of food, or the water's just going to be turned off and you're going to run out of water. But I think South Africa, the way it's gone, is a more realistic...
Yeah, collapse isn't overnight. Collapse never stops. So it's a constant collapse. And every time, you know, we've come back every second year. And it's like, it can't get any worse. And then you come back 2 years later and it's like, oh, it's gotten worse.
Yeah.
Collapse just carries on collapsing. It's a constant, just slow eroding of standards, eroding of morality, eroding of basic functions of society.
And so with being in America, it's good to prepare for things, to not be dependent on government systems, but to not be afraid that one day everything is just going to be apocalyptic.
Yeah, because that's where community steps in. The community steps in, neighbors step in, businesses step in to pick up the slack and keep order, keep things functioning. And so that is what's so encouraging about being in South Africa, is seeing how people are ahead of the collapse, are keeping life going. And it's not easy, but it's definitely a very meaningful life for people here.
Being here, you can feel their grittiness for life. Like, they're not used to just a comfortable life, just being comfortable. There's deep meaning to, because everything's feels hard.
Yeah. Here. It's all about survival here.
Yeah.
Where it's all about comfort primarily still.
Yeah, like the goal is coming. I mean, people will get upset if their Amazon package doesn't come in time. Whereas here, it's like you're happy if a package comes at all.
Yeah.
Being here, I feel it shows us why it's so important to be communal and neighborly, because we are just, you know, we love being home. We're very much homebodies. And I think sometimes being here puts me outside of my comfort zone, because everything is so community based. We basically are in community every single day, and there's a lot of joy and fulfillment in that, that unless I'm forced into that, I could easily just be home all the time and just do my own thing, focus on my own thing. But life here is very communal, very neighborly. Does it feel like a vacation in South Africa, or like a second home? Also, when you get back home, do you wish you could go back sooner, or are you just glad to be back in America?
I think in a way, there's the excitement of the vacation. We enjoy traveling. We enjoy...
This is our only vacation.
Yeah, we don't take vacations or go anywhere, really. I mean, we enjoy our life so much, both places. When we're here, we hardly ever leave. And when we're in America, we hardly ever leave because we love our own places. We love our own homes. So this is a big vacation for us.
If
you want to call it that. But at the same time, it's very meaningful. Again, there's things that we take care of here. There's family, there's friends, there's a lot of meaning in being here. And then as far as, you know, do we wish we could be back sooner? And are we glad to be back in America? I think we always are glad to be back in America because that's a lot of our work and focus of our long-term work is there. And so, you know, you're taking a pause for a month from it, but you're always coming back to enjoy what you do and
the put routines of life. Like, mm-hmm. I think that is, in some ways, it feels like a vacation here because we don't have a fully stocked kitchen. Mm-hmm. We don't have all of the tools that we have back home. So you, just like when you're on vacation or when you're staying somewhere, you make do with mm-hmm. whatever you have. That very much is our life here. We just make do with whatever we have to do what we need to do here. But there is that comfort of going home and having a fully stocked pantry, having the kitchen tools.
And I think, again, coming back from South Africa and getting back to America, there is this again, a reverse culture shock for me of coming back into law and order, coming back into cleanliness, coming back into civilization where, again, there's safety, there you can switch off the situational vigilance. There isn't as much survival mindset needed in America. And so it is a lot more...
Peaceful?
Yeah, it's maybe a lot more peaceful.
Yeah. We actually had a man, he commented on our video saying something about how he would never come to South Africa because he doesn't have the situational awareness needed to be here. And what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think if you want to be a tourist in South Africa, the way to do it is have your whole trip planned with the hotels, the tour groups, the safaris, whatever you want to come and do. Just make sure you're not freewheeling it or being a backpacker and show up and do your own trip. There's definitely a wisdom or a street smarts. There's certainly a huge element of opportunism when it comes to crime. And the cities especially, there's just so much crime. And
Johannesburg, especially, which is where you'll probably land.
I mean, not only Johannesburg, I think Durban's like number four.
Really?
In the whole country.
Wow.
I think Maritzburg might be like...
Number one.
Yeah. Who knows? I mean, it might be. You know, so violent crime even it's very common in South Africa. But once you're in your bubbles of civilization, your bubbles of safety, there's an incentive, especially for hotels, for the tourism industry, there's an incentive to look after tourists very well. Otherwise, the tourists won't come back. Those bubbles of hotels, lodges, safaris, you know, all the tours that you can get on from when you land to when you leave, that's the way to do it because you're going to have an amazing time. You're going to experience the country, but you're going to do it with people who will guide you through and keep you safe.
So there was a lot of questions also about animals in South Africa.
This is one of Kelly's favorite topics. So we share a border with two other properties and we've made one big conservancy and there's a bunch of zebra and wildebeest and tons of buck and all that kind of stuff up on the top of the property. And we have a very friendly and special zebra, Miss Marples.
Yes.
Who we have yet to find. We've seen her from the distance.
So she used to be down here and Donald used to be down here with a few others. And then Donald went up the hillside and she followed, which is quite sad because she's the sweetest and most stubborn little zebra, but she's quite old now.
Yeah, but you can feed her from your hand, you can rub her and scratch her.
One of the number one questions we get whenever we come back, are zebras like deer in America?
No, they're like donkeys in America, where you see a cute farm and someone bought a donkey and put it there, and now it's cute.
Yeah, they don't just run wild.
They're in the national parks, so just like there's national parks in America where there's bears and elk and things that run wild in the national parks. So it is in South Africa. There's game farms, there's national parks, and there they all run wild in big herds. But for a lot of people with rural properties, they'll buy a few zebra and roam around as lawn ornaments.
And so your dad would always buy zebras.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you, when you were young, they were very tame.
Mm-hmm.
And by tame...
Yeah, you could feed them from your hand and scratch them. And
you like laid on them mm-hmm. and stuff. But if you don't interact with them, then they will be skittish and nervous.
Yeah, like you can probably get around maybe like 5 or 10 meters away from them, but you're not going to be able to touch them.
Yeah. So we actually, last time we were here, we had Clayton and Daisy. They were by our house, and they would try to come into our house, and Clayton was super lovable, let you just rub his whole body. Daisy was a little bit finicky, and so rumor has it that they were killed by someone. They were shot. So that hasn't ever been verified. They could have been stolen.
We pray for their return every day.
Yeah, it's been very sad this trip because normally we have little friends in our yard all the time. So it's quite sad.
Yeah.
But Miss Marples, on the other hand, a fun fact about Miss Marples is she was actually the movie Racing Stripes.
She was not the main zebra.
But
she was invited to audition and she was not good enough. So they ended up painting a white horse.
And she wasn't good enough because she didn't obey.
She couldn't do the things. I don't think people could ride her. Or...
And that's another question. People always ask, can you ride zebras?
I'm sure someone's done it, but no one does it, so probably not.
You don't want to just stand behind a zebra. They are still wild and temperamental. Even
Yeah, and the males are pretty aggressive.
Yeah, I was going to say, Scott's mom has a whole bunch of horses, and there's a zebra who thinks he's a horse. And some days he's the most sweetest guy, you just can rub him. And then other days, like the other day we went up to pet him, and all of a sudden he like tried to nip at my arm. And not just once, but like every time I got closer, he would reach to bite my arm. So it's like, what mood are you in today? But they're fun. Zebras were my absolute favorite animal growing up. I loved zebras. My prayer and dream was to have zebras when I grew up. I have all these little journal entries about wanting to have a zebra when I grow up, or if I had $1 million, I would buy a zebra.
And you had a teacher who poo-pooed your dream.
She did. Miss Flaher, fourth grade, told me,
God bless her,
that zebras are not pets.
And forgive her.
And look at my life.
That's right.
Okay, so now to the other wild animals. One of the hiking videos, someone asked, do you get nervous about wild animals? Are there snakes?
There are a few venomous snakes in the area, but you hardly have encounters with them. They'll often feel you or hear you coming and move off the path, but you obviously don't want to be. There have been people have accidents or step on them or get bitten and stuff, and then you have to go to hospitals to get anti-venom and stuff. But I've never had a run-in with a snake. And then there's leopards in the area, but they're very nocturnal. They keep to the forests, so I've never ever seen a leopard in my life. There have been a few sightings by people, but I've never seen them.
And the wildebeest?
Wildebeest, yeah, I'm not too keen on getting close to them. They're scary looking. The baboons can be a bit aggressive. Usually you can walk past them without much problem, but sometimes the males get a bit showy and aggressive. And
I saw my first baboon fight the other day.
You prayed for a baboon fight, and a minute later, the baboon fought.
Well, my prayer was that I could see the two. I did say, Lord, I'd love to see a baboon fight. And then literally.
You weren't specific enough.
But it was so sad because this huge, I mean, he was scary how massive this baboon was. He grabbed this little tiny baby and just started
bullying him,
whipping it around and like almost like tearing it to pieces, like stretching. It was awful. And all of the other baboons are like screaming and terror. And then there was another male baboon up in the tree and he took off running, and then there was a little bit of a fight, and then all of a sudden they all just stopped and stood there. So it was a very interesting experience.
Such is life in the Lion King vibes.
Yeah. And then someone asked if monkeys ever get into the house.
Yes, unfortunately we had a run-in.
That just happened. After I posted the video with the monkey on my channel, that next day, I was in the bedroom, Scott was outside, and if you notice, the windows here, they don't have any screens, so you just open them up. So you really have to be diligent to keep them shut.
Ordinarily, people have dogs in their yards and houses, so dogs will keep monkeys away, and then you can leave the windows open. But we obviously don't have a dog here, so...
So we have to keep our windows shut if we're not in the room. Mm-hmm. And we thought our kitchen window, we just had it barely cracked and it's up high, like one of these. And nope, it got in while you were outside.
And then he pooped on my couch.
He pooped everywhere. And it was disgusting.
Yeah.
So, and that's the other...
So I wanted to...
You wish you had a gun.
That's right.
But Alas, he got away.
Kelly has a video coming up of her giraffe experiences.
Yes, we have our...
So that'll be fun.
We went, Scott's mom and brother...
Took us on a safari.
And our sister-in-law, we all went on a safari together and our friend Cheryl. And it was so much fun. It was one of the most beautiful experiences. I mean, it's beautiful here, but this is like bush safari. And it was, again, heaven on earth, amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Praise God. God bless you guys.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. You can support our channel by leaving a review on Apple Podcast, or if you would like to purchase from our shop, our website is homewithkelly.co. We have organic rooibos that we bring in from Scott's home country of South Africa. It is a delicious, no caffeine tea, loose leaf. It is so good, iced or warm. And I also have some vintage home goods in the shop, and I make some hand-bound journals, which are also available. We hope that everything that we share is an encouragement and a blessing to you and your family.